Vietnam. It is interesting how a word can invoke so many feelings, memories, images, emotions, and so different for each soul. Back in the mid-60s, I wrote my first songs wanting desperately to make a difference with my music. And so I was also a seeker, you could say, and a deep thinker. But being a seeker in the 60s was intense. There was a lot to contemplate for those of us who dared to question the establishment, such as the civil rights movement spearheaded by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And then there was the Enlightenment movement, influenced by visiting Mahatmas and Maharishis who were introducing their version of spiritual awakening. We watched the sexual revolution ravel and unravel while we followed the Look magazine reports all the way to the colorful and dreamy homesteads of Back to the Landers who hand in hand shared community bliss in their organic utopias. And then there was the Vietnam War, right in the middle of it all. Music raged around me, from Bob Dylan's provocative and poetic portrayals of the cultural crisis du jour to the hair-raising electricity of Hendrix, and meanwhile Janis Joplin poured her guts out with every song she sang. History was playing it all out in music, and Nam was central to many of the stories being told, from those who had been there, as well as on the part of others who vented about the so-called war machine with a procession of platitudes unique to the Vietnam War debate. I also remembered the daily news from Nam and all the still shots and casualty reports that left my mind numb. At times, I tried to imagine what life was like for the soldiers. I had lived in foreign nations as a child, and I had seen extreme poverty. I had known the feeling of intense heat and humidity beating down on my skin, a razor-sharp scourge to the flesh that only jungles can produce. But I had never known war. And as for liberty and its cost, honestly, no matter how much of a deep thinker I might have thought myself to be at that time, what could I have really known about the price of freedom being paid by our military in Southeast Asia? As for those who were serving over there, well, they likely didn't know either starting out, until the Huey dropped them off in a field somewhere. Welcome to Hell was the theme upon their arrival to the zone, where behind any bush, hut, or slope, even within the skirts of women holding their young, the enemy could lurch forward, indulging in their favorite forms of destruction and always with the surprise element, which guerrilla warfare never fails to bring. Yes, these recruits learned far too much about the price of freedom and too fast, as their innocence was replaced by battle-driven grit, and as they slipped deep into sheer survival mode, they adapted with lightning speed to the unimaginable as they watched out for each other, having arrived as strangers but soon becoming brothers and sisters. But as if the horror of war was not enough, this was by and large a conflict not understood or supported by the citizens of the USA, and while legislators back home condescended to administer policy, our veterans endured agonizing frustrations being throttled in their efforts as they faced the perils which always result from unchecked bureaucracy. Meanwhile, as I continued my soul-searching, safe on the homeland, I soon realized that this group of Americans were caught in the middle of an agonizing storm of controversy, a group who were not afforded the luxury of contemplation as they crept through sweltering swamps and jungles, every sense extended with hypervigilance brought on by the unique warfare occurring in Southeast Asia. Surviving their tour of duty physically involved one set of acquired skills as they passed through the eternity of moments each day. But as they watched their numbers diminishing, they faced even more everlasting nightmares, dealing daily with unimaginable losses as they watched their buddies fall beside them, one by one, or as they were called upon to do the unimaginable and not what their mama taught them to do. But worst of all, most were left with the searing and relentless guilt of finding themselves to be a survivor, and guilt is a nemesis of any soul. But this would be just the beginning of their purgatory, because when the day finally came that the Huey, boat, or plane took them from the battlefield, either whole or in pieces, they were to face the next chapter of their lives in numb disbelief. Arriving back home, they had to survive new rounds of fiery darts from the jeers, the insults, the ugly and unfounded accusations. They were spit upon, cursed, and reports circulated at times describing bodily waste being tossed at veterans arriving home at airports. All this being a far cry from the flag-lined terminals we see today when our veterans return from war. This excursion, though yet another classroom of hell, led to one of the worst kinds of loneliness of all, being rejected by the very people and the very nation that they had served with their lives, surviving physical, mental, and emotionless states that could never be understood or even explained with words unless they might encounter another veteran who had also been there. But who would be able or willing to speak about the unspeakable? Because for many years, few talked out loud about Nam, and with no welcome home, many simply hid their uniforms, threw on civilian clothes as quickly as they could, tried to blend into the crowds as they made their way through to somewhere. But where? Between the outer calamity of rejection and the inner unspoken grieving and rage, between the fog of war still lingering in their brains and the cultural war zone at home, many became standing wanderers, seeming to be present while on the inside they were anywhere but here. And after years of damming up the unshed tears, and after waiting more years, even decades, for help from government agencies, which they hoped might address their wounds, at least some of the ones on the outside, a question burned in their souls. How can you come home when you don't know where your home has gone? This presentation is dedicated to our Vietnam veterans and to their families, in honor, in remembrance, and with fervent prayers for their healing and peace. The following quotes are from some of our Vietnam veterans, family members, or friends of veterans who will share their feelings, their perspective, their disappointments, and their hopes. Some have made a statement, some have offered a part of a song or poem they have written, and a few of our guest presenters will share why they work so hard today to make sure that all of our veterans receive the full support they need upon their return from battle. So though we face much work ahead to ensure the needs of our veterans, the good news is that there's a growing number of people who are awakening to this cause and who are coming forward in support of our military and their families. They are lining the streets and airport terminals to pay their respects at parades and memorials. They are volunteering in so many creative ways through their community events, organizations, and even by approaching their legislators to insist upon decent treatment of our veterans. Today and every day, I join Americans from all over our nation saying, welcome home and thank you for your service from the bottom of our hearts. We begin with the words of Vietnam veteran Rob Owensby. It was an honor and a privilege to serve my country. Regarding Vietnam, I would not take anything for the experience, but I pray that no one would have to go through that. I am proud of my combat brothers and all the support soldiers who helped me make it through the war. My personal opinion is that the war would have been a short war if the politicians would have let the military handle it. Viper shares, our motto for First Force Recon Strike Team 5 was, if we don't come back together, we don't come back. We had a special bond that went beyond the Corps. We became brothers for life. When your life depends on the four other men on your team, you need to have a degree of trust that most people would never understand. I don't know how it was for other units, but for us, that was just how it was. I got your six was more than just a saying. Dr. Phil Ayers, from his poem, When the Church Bells Rang, shares, hundreds died fighting hand to hand, their names eternal in our mind. We took their hell to win their land, and that hellish day motto stand, no one left behind. While across the battlefield the church bells rang so clear, Marines, brave, everyone, to you we hold so dear. Mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters still cry and ask why, that so many years ago our Marines had to die. At home, the church bells ring on high. Leo Garoniak, historian, teacher, commentator, and supporter of our veterans, states, "The Vietnam War was completely different from World War II and the Korean War. In Vietnam, there was no front line for combat. The battlefield was actually anywhere and everywhere, all at the same time, and many enemy combatants did not wear uniforms, including some women and children, who in being used by the enemy were armed and dangerous. So our soldiers could never be certain who they were dealing with when encountering what appeared to be civilians. The evening news broadcasts in the USA rarely pointed out the guerrilla style of fighting by the enemy. Therefore, many of the American people did not understand the way the war was being fought. This was the first guerrilla war that American soldiers had ever encountered. When the soldiers returned home, they were not well received, partly because the American public did not understand what these soldiers were up against on the battlefields. The reason why the nature of the realities of the Vietnam War were not fully or accurately portrayed by most news media in the United States is still a mystery." Vietnam veteran John L. Smith shares, "Our country was in turmoil, and my generation was questioning the federal government, asking, why? When we returned home, we were not welcomed by friends and sometimes even our families. I did not tell anyone that I had been in the military for 40 years. At that time, less than 5% of Americans had been in service with the military, and so that left 95% of the American public unable to really understand what we were doing in Vietnam, which contributed to why we were treated the way we were when we came back to the United States." Veteran Deb McKay explains how her father's experience influenced her. "When I was growing up, the Vietnam War protesters were everywhere, and I was the one across the street supporting the military mainly because of my dad who served at that time. When I found out my dad was spit on and called a baby killer in San Francisco on his return from his second tour, it was then that I decided that something needed to be done. I did not find out that that had happened until about 20 years or so ago, and it was then when I became so motivated, and still to this day, I think our veterans are getting a raw deal." Veteran Edwin C. Carroll states, "My dad and I served. Helis picked us up and dropped us deep inland, and it was part of a hell that I do not know how to describe or say. I'm speechless, much of which I just auto-block it and try to recover. But today, on the 50th anniversary of the Marines landing in Vietnam, all the news media can talk about is a bridge in Alabama and voters' rights somewhere. This is crap, and it makes my dad and me cry bad. Our hearts are broken." Veteran William Saul, a.k.a. Turtle, shares, "The only thing I could ever want the USA to know is it's much too late. We hide in the shadows, wondering if it's over and when will we ever come home. Will there be a time when I don't feel like an outcast or be ashamed of the government, but love our real America? I'm on the alert 24/7, looking, and always ready to act in a second. I live in constant fear of knowing that someone might say, 'Hey, you're a Vietnam veteran, aren't you?'" Veteran Michael Stewart asks, "I have a question now. Why is it that those who protested the Vietnam War are grown and their children are in harm's way and their voices are silent?" Veteran Dennis Overly shares about Agent Orange. "Each day, I am saddened to see another Vietnam brother or sister lose their battle with Agent Orange. No one knew at that time that this chemical used to kill jungle foliage would 40-plus years later take the lives of those who fought for this country. I, too, fight this battle with Agent Orange, but for my country, I would do it again. The oath we took has no expiration date." Veteran Steve Isaacson shares, "I do not want to talk about Vietnam, for it's still painful, but I will talk about after Vietnam. Over the past many years, I started helping veterans with the same or worse issues. I help them from all over the United States. I do this without pay or any type of compensation. This is how I deal with the memories. It fills my heart every time to help a veteran or a veteran's family get what they were promised. I will continue the fight until my last breath. I leave no one behind." Veteran Jim Quick states, "I would love for people to understand that Vietnam vets were proud of our country then as we are now, and we went to ensure that communism never came ashore in the USA. We never hesitated, and we did our job we were sent to do. RIP to the more than 58,000 Vietnam vets that gave their all. You will never be forgotten, as well as the POWs and our MIAs still unaccounted for that endured inhumane treatment. I work hard now so that our veterans today will not experience the letdown which we felt upon our return home. So God bless and protect our veterans, and God bless America. Many of our veterans and family members of veterans have experienced healing when visiting some of our Vietnam War memorials. Among those is a sacred place in Washington, D.C. known as The Wall, where the names of the missing or fallen are chiseled in granite. Vietnam veteran Spencer D. Nave Jr. shares from one of his songs about The Wall. Now there at The Wall, black granite it stands, are the names of the ones who didn't come back. Be reverent, respectful when you walk by. For the cause of freedom, these young people died. Chiseled in granite are the names of them all. The sons and the daughters are there on the wall. 58,183. For the cause of freedom, they died honestly. Veteran Joe Doyle tells his story of going to the wall and the healing that resulted. I would like to share a thought that truly helped me go to the wall for the first time ever in 2012. I had never gone, for I feared the ghosts that I would find there. But words of wisdom came from my wife, and it's a message for all of us vets with survivor's guilt and that deeper guilt we never speak of. She told me that the dead have no ill will towards the living, and I knew it to be true, for I was the one who had been carrying all those feelings. The dead had gone beyond the cares of this life. They were really in a better place. I went, I cried, I healed some more, and after, there seemed to be fewer ghosts, and my prayer is for all to work out the ghosts. Vietnam veteran Bill Robinson, longest held enlisted POW in American history, shares, very simply, without our veterans, there would be no United States of America. East Tennessee patriot Sue Dauber shares, I watched many friends and loved ones go to war in Vietnam while I was in high school, and I lost friends. So these veterans are dear to my heart. Tennessee was the first state to declare March 29th as the official Vietnam Veterans Day in 2008, and it's now nationwide. In 2014, I was burdened that these veterans had not been recognized properly in Knoxville and the surrounding areas, so it became my passion and mission to make it happen. On March 29, 2014, Rolling Thunder, Inc., Tennessee Chapter 3, hosted the first Vietnam Veterans Day welcome home ceremony to a standing room only group. It was finally a day where many felt they were truly honored and welcomed home. Albert Joseph Poe, award-winning author and poet and strong supporter of our military, shares this from his poem, Heroes Inside. Many years silent as the years have now passed, dark memories embedded, they always do last. But they're truly respected for what they've done, their honor, courage, and the battles they've won. Now things have changed as they walk with great pride. We thank God for these warriors and the heroes inside. Vietnam veteran Jimmy Avera, a.k.a. Big Dog, shares about what Vietnam Veterans Day means to him. As a Vietnam veteran, this day is one of remembrance, where we can reflect upon our lives and personal experiences relative to the Vietnam War and our service tour over there. We remember the less popular, undeserved treatment we received, absorbed, and endured when we returned to our homeland. We also remember the devastating effects that the war had on our lives after that, both mentally and physically. Hopefully, our day will be a gathering of comrades, brothers and sisters, in arms where we can share greetings, smiles, tears, and memories. Most importantly, this is a day to pause, remember, and pay respect to all of our fellow servicemen and women who made the ultimate sacrifice by giving their lives during the Vietnam War. Also, we must re-emphasize our POW-MIA urgency, knowing and broadcasting to our nation's citizens that we must diligently continue to pursue bringing our troops home. Currently, there are over 1,643 unaccounted for MIAs from the Vietnam War. We must never forget nor leave anyone behind. If we forget just one American soldier, then we as a country have failed. On this day, I can proudly say welcome home to each and every Vietnam veteran. They are, and always will be, my comrades, brothers, and sisters. In closing, I would like to suggest that if you ever encounter some of our Vietnam veterans, take a moment and extend your hand to them. Look in their eyes and let them know with your soul how much you appreciate their service and sacrifice. And if you have a moment more, and if the veteran feels like sharing, consider receiving one of the greatest gifts of all, the opportunity to hear from a hero sharing history through his or her eyes. And to all who participated in this presentation, I join with the American people in saying to you that words cannot express our gratitude for your time and contributions. Thank you. This is Chaplain Ann M. Wolfe. God be with us as we move forward with great hope together.